We're in the book of Mark. Again, not that we're going anywhere anytime soon. We're going to do a big chunk today, so you should, some of you might be happy. We're going to be going just about almost halfway through chapter 5. We're actually starting chapter 5, too. But as always, I don't like to just jump right into this. Well, speaking of it, I don't like just to jump right into the text. And part of that is, you know, I'm sure maybe you've been other preachers or whatever, they jump right into the text and you're kind of like, okay, we're getting into the, I like to ease us in with usually some type of funny anecdote or something. So today's no exception, by the way. So have you guys ever seen a hydraulic press? Hydraulic press. They are amazing because they will smash anything. So I have this video of things being smashed by a hydraulic press. And it's, okay, so Tabitha was, she said it was a little disturbing. It's not, because there's a Furby that gets, there's a Furby that gets smashed. I saw it as fitting. Tab says it's disturbing. Anyway, some of it's oddly satisfying, seeing things get smashed by hydraulic press. So listen, if this didn't hit the mark, I'm sorry. It's all to make a point, but anyway, Matthew, make sure that my volume's up for me. So here you go. These are so awesome. So anyway, here you go, hydraulic press. Corn, that's a good one. Cream corn, that works. I think that's soap, it's soap. I'm not sure what that is. Play-Doh? See, this is just right. That is so awesome. I think that's a persimmon. Have you ever had that stuff? It's like that. There's only a few more. Only a few more. That's like the best. Yes. All right. So maybe I'm the only person. Anybody else? Does anybody else get, like, is it oddly satisfying watching that stuff? See, Mark, we're on the same page here, right? Right? It's a little, it's oddly satisfying. Oh, whatever. Thank you. That's awesome. For those on Facebook, Jason Drake, it was me. You crushed it. That's awesome. Anyway, things can only take so much until they, like, you see, like, the piece of, like, at the end, the piece of broccoli doesn't look like, it's smashed. It's literally, like, you can't put that back together, right? And by the way, so I have these, like, bamboo sticks here. If you're tuning online, this is a simple bamboo. No, don't worry about zooming. So, simple bamboo stick. So, bamboo sticks can only take so much, like, force, and then they break, right? By the way, there's all this science behind it. There's tactile. There's tactile force and flexile force. There's all these different forces that are going in here, which allows this. If you don't go beyond, I think it's tensile force, you can return back to like a homeostasis, right? But as soon as you start breaking the fibers of the actual material, that's when it hits a point of no return, right? I killed it. That can't go back to what it originally was. It doesn't look like what it was. It won't spring back. It's broken. It's hit that point of no return, right? And so I want us to keep this in mind, because with that hydraulic press, you saw things move well beyond their point of no return. And keep this in mind too, because Jesus is going to do something with this today. With something that maybe the world says is beyond the point of no return, which, by the way, I'm gonna get close to the camera here. So, like, things that you see, and by the way, I'm just gonna get this right to the camera. things that maybe we think are beyond the point of no return. All right, so if you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We're entering a new chapter. We're gonna fly through 20 verses. So we're gonna go pretty heavy here. But this is an amazing story of how Jesus healed a man from a demonic oppression. If you know the story, it has to do with a man oppressed by many demons. In fact, if you know the story, Jesus sends them into a herd of pigs, and it's a whole hullabaloo. It's a big thing. But anyway, Mark chapter 5, let's get into it. Now, keep in mind, last week we saw Jesus in the storm, right? So Jesus was in the storm. He was going across the lake. And so he gets to the other side, and this is exactly what happens to him as soon as he gets on the other side. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Would you go for me to the next one? When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Go ahead. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Sorry, that's a huge chunk, but I had to get this whole story in, because I think the whole story kind of tells a picture about what Jesus is doing. So, by the way, last week we saw Jesus calm the storm, showing his divine authority over creation, over nature itself. This was an amazing work that we saw Jesus do. And so just to kind of give you, let me see if I can do this with my phone. I think I have it. Just to kind of give you an example. By the way, here's where we are. I'm going to show you on the map just kind of where we're at. So here's where we are. We're going to zoom in. This is where we actually are, all the way in the Sea of Galilee, right? Here's where we are. And to give you an idea of kind of what's going on here, Jesus, let me see if I have it. It should be right here. Jesus started his work right here. That's where we started. That's where Jesus' home was. That's where the man was lowered from the roof. That's where Jesus began to heal. That's where the crowd started to come. And so he crossed the lake, and they end up here. So they kind of went like catty corner across the top of the lake. And that's where we find this man. So just to kind of give you an idea, that's what I like in my mind. He's not walking around Glenmore. He's working around the Sea of Galilee. That's where his ministry is right now, early in his first 3 years. The first of 3 years of his ministry. By the way, that's about 4 miles, by the way, if you do the math as the crows fly, that's about a 4 mile distance between the two. So, by the way, I want you to take a look at this. As Jesus gets there, this man comes out and he's oppressed by these demons. And this is the most detailed account of demonic oppression that we have in the Bible. There's no, we've seen like impure spirits come into people. You've seen people that have had, we've already seen people who've had impure spirits. Jesus drove them out. This is like one of the only really detailed accounts that we have of what it could look like and can look like when someone finds themselves demonically oppressed. By the way, we're going to talk about that just a little bit. So if anyone's sitting here going, oh my gosh, like just calm down for a second, because we have to kind of like walk through this. There's a couple things I want you to notice when we talk about what this demon was doing to this individual. Notice that the darkness thrives in darkness. It's a key. When we talk about demonic oppression, darkness thrives in darkness. So this demonic spirit took him to this place where he lived among like these caves that are honed out, and dead bodies were in there waiting for, they would actually put people in these tombs and wait for their bodies to decay, and then they would, you know, I mean, that was it. They put them in there so they would just fall apart, really. And so it's kind of creepy a little bit. Like, I mean, I don't think any of us, I mean, none of us, many would want to be there. Unless, I know there are some people who are like to walk through graveyards. I'll let those people go. I know for a fact there's some people. I'll let those people go nameless. But like, for the most part, many of us probably wouldn't want to be here. But for whatever reason, this demon takes him to this place of darkness, and darkness thrives in darkness. By the way, this is why when we talk about Jesus' redeeming power, Jesus brings light into the darkness. This is the key theme in all the gospel. Jesus brings light into the darkness. That's why if you ever find yourself, like if you were, I'm not saying that you are, by the way. So by the way, don't think that all illnesses are caused by Satan. But don't think that all illnesses could just be illnesses, is what I'm trying to say. We need a healthy balance between the two. Demonic oppression is a real thing. I've seen it. I've been part of a deliverance. It's a real thing. But we need to have the caution flags out a little bit, because we can be all afraid or we can get all full of anxiety, and that's not exactly what we're called to be. But whatever reason, this man had something happen to him where he didn't deal with it. He didn't bring light. In fact, he drove deeper into darkness, craved bad things. Craved to be among the dead. You see, there's this idea that he's thriving in darkness. By the way, Satan loves that. As long as the light stays out, we're good. From Satan's perspective. He's alone in his brokenness. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Like, he was all by himself. People would actually come and actually try to subdue the guy. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what this man is going through? Like this man is all alone, and by the way, there's this like supernatural kind of strength happening from him. I know Tab has talked about this a lot when she's in the ER. She sees something like this from some of her patients. Tab says, there's no doubt in my mind that there was some type of something going on there. People get this supernatural. But the point that I want to make is that he's all alone. He's got nobody. So he's living in darkness. He's all by himself, and then there's this kind of self-harm thing going on, that this demon is actually causing him to hurt himself. So you put all three of those things together, and you got a pretty broken individual. You got a pretty broken person. And by the way, what would we say of this person? He's too far gone, right? Like, dude, you've been in, how long you been late? Like, how long you been had this going on? Like, how long? How, like, what? Like, the town people are like, dude, I tried to get that guy with a chain. Like, he broke the chains. Stay away from him. Put him out there by the tombs. Let him do his own thing. He's too far gone. He's hit the point of what? No return. Right? He's too far gone. Would we ever say this of ourselves? Do we ever believe this about ourselves? I'm too broken. I'm too far gone. You know what? There's just not enough help for me. You know what? Jesus can't do fill in the blank. Like, so often, I think sometimes we can either extend this to other people, right, this idea, or we extend this to ourselves. You know what? I'm damaged goods. I'm no good. I'm an awful person. I've screwed up again and again and again. It's just, you know what? It's just finally Jesus is just going to give up on me because I've hit the point of no return. I love this story because it proves how far Jesus is willing to go to prove that this just is not a biblical idea, by the way. This is not biblical vocabulary. Point of no return. This right here, this is not it. That should never be in our vocabulary. The hydraulic press coming smashing you, right? Like you're gone. You don't look anything like you were. Like Jesus can't do anything for you. I'm sorry, you're done. I'm sorry, that's anti-gospel. That's dark. That's darkness thriving in darkness. That's Satan going, as long as I have him there, I got him right where I want him. As long as she believes that about herself, that's a win for me. And so I want to show you something today that, oh man, this is so cool. This is like the coolest thing. I want to show you something today that proves to you that Jesus doesn't believe in this. You know what it is? It's Jesus' very own footsteps. Take a look. Chapter 4 says, the day when evening came, he says to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. Right? So in chapter 4, he says, we're going to the other side of the lake. Right? Then in chapter 5, as soon as Jesus is done healing this guy, what does he do? He leaves. Right? Jesus didn't go over there just to be kicked out. Like, Jesus, but we just acknowledge that Jesus is God, right? We just came to that understanding that last week we saw Jesus stop the storm. And so he says, let's go over to the other side. Well, he didn't go over to the other side. Well, those guys didn't let me in. Like, no, he went over to the other side with the intention to do one thing. Heal this man. To go and be a vessel in Decapolis and to speak the good news of what he has done for him. Jesus did all, look, Jesus crossed 4 miles of lake. He, in the evening, he calmed a storm with his bare hands. Like his disciples think he's nuts, right? And he goes there, he gets on the lake for one, or on the other side of the lake for one purpose, to heal this guy. Everybody else had given up on this guy, let him in the tombs, let him go. But Jesus said, there's somebody on the other side of the lake that needs me, and I'm going to him. Jesus' very own footsteps tells you how he feels about the subject of this. Of this. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't. And we need to understand the length that God went to heal one broken man. He went pretty far. And he did that, why? So this man could be healed. Because that's what God does. He restores broken things. Nothing's ever too far gone. Light will always push away the darkness. And where light exists, darkness cannot be. It's a physical reality. This is what Jesus does. And you need to understand that God feels the same way about you today. That he will stop at nothing. That he will go. We just sung Waymaker, right? Like this is what we do. This is what he does. That is who you are, right? Like, this is better me, they're better you than me, I'm just telling you right now. But like this is what we're called to understand about God, that this is what he does. And so let's dig just a little bit deeper. Let's get into this. But before we do, if you are here today and this resonates with you, well then here's your mission. You cannot leave here today like this. If you are past the point of no return, I can guarantee you Jesus already has proven that he doesn't want you leaving feeling like this. Because he did an amazing work in this man's life, and he wants to do an amazing work in your life too. But the problem is, as long as Satan believes that we're damaged goods, then he doesn't have to do anything else. And so today's the day about we're not leaving here like this. We're leaving here like this. So today is a day where we have to begin to do some work and understand the truth about who God is and how he feels about each and every one of us. And before we dig a little deeper, let's go before the Lord now, because I can only imagine what you are feeling, what you're experiencing, what you're walking in here with. Let's go before Jesus. Jesus, we come before you, and as I hold this piece of broken bamboo stick in my hand, it's symbolic of what many of us can feel. Maybe COVID just tore us apart. Maybe emotionally we're in an awful place. Maybe there are some of us here who are dealing with something physical and we feel there's no hope. Maybe there's something going on in our lives that's relational and that, it, you know what, it's too far broken, it's too far bent, it's hit that point of no return. Jesus, would you allow us to begin to have a better vocabulary here this morning? Because we serve a God who restores broken things. And so, Lord, would you go and lead us, guide us, restore us? Would you go let us understand this truth? We're not leaving here damaged goods. We're leaving here transformed, a new creation. And so, Lord, we are going to push back darkness today. We are going to give this time to you. And so, Jesus, would you bring about a healing work in our lives today? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's dig it deeper a little bit. So go back to verse 6, some things I want to point out. So it says that when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." By the way, where do you get your understanding from demons? The Bible or Hollywood? That's what I want to know. Like, does everything that you understand about demons comes from a horror movie? Because if it does, you got the wrong source, just so you know. Like, because that's not at all, like, whether it's, I mean, I don't even know some of those crazy movies that, like, Paranormal Activity. I don't even watch this stuff. Like, Paranormal Activity or whatever, Poltergeist. I don't watch those movies, so I can't tell you. But if you get your theology from a Hollywood movie, it'd be like understanding Amish culture from Weird Al Yankovic, like, or Amish Mafia. by the way, has anybody ever seen Amish Mafia? It is the most joke of a show ever. Like, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. Like, by the way, I've talked to a couple Amish people, and they're like, "That is the dumbest show I've ever seen, or I've ever heard about. They never saw it. They didn't see it." He was a pretty liberal Amish guy. No, they're like, "I've heard things," and it's just, they're like, the premise is so dumb, and it was made in a Hollywood studio. That's exactly what it is. In fact, did you know Lancaster County actually, like, was suing, like, Discovery Channel because of the depiction of the Amish? It was like, go Discovery, or go Lancaster County. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is, where do you get your information? Where's your source of understanding? Because we can get so, "Oh, I saw this in a movie," or I heard a ghost story from a friend of mine, like, no. If you want the ultimate truth about the demonic world, you go to the Bible. Go to the source. Demonic oppression is real, okay? It's a real thing. But by the way, most of the time, demonic oppression comes from unconfessed sin, some type of trauma that has happened to you, right? If it was, like, usually it's some type of, like, childhood trauma that has happened that you never dealt with, and it, like, Satan finds, like, oh, that's a spot, right? It, like, they just fester in darkness. Stuff that's never come out, stuff that's never been given to Jesus, stuff that you're like, if they know that, I'm going, whatever that might look like. So I want you to understand, demonic oppression is real, but what I want you to know, it's not okay to assume that every illness is a demon. That's not okay. Mental illness is a real thing. We have some counselors here. Like, mental illness is a real thing. But we can't negate what is before us, by the way. So let's take a look at what's going on in this passage. This man lived almost subhuman, by the way. This man almost, like he lived among the tombs. He probably didn't look or sound like a normal everyday person. Do you ever just get the weird factor from people? He probably gave people a lot of the weird factor a lot. When you roll up on someone, you're like, right? So he lived almost subhuman. He had this supernatural strength. And then he had this desire for self-harm. All these things are very kind of key when we understand, like, when you start, if you're sitting here being like, oh my gosh. When Satan finds something that is unconfessed sin, that is something that if you feel that if the truth came out, that you would be looked down in God's eyes. Like, that is a space that Satan loves to work. If he can trick you into fooling you, saying that you're just not good enough for God. Or something that happened to us and we can't forgive and we have bitterness. Any of those types of things are roots that we can. Did I go off? No, I'm still there. Good. That we give to him those opportunities to move in and through. The thing I want you to know is when you read this, this demon shouted at the top of his voice when he comes to, like, he sees Jesus coming across the lake. He actually runs to Jesus and shouts at Jesus. By the way, notice who's afraid here. Like, it's not Jesus, by the way. We talked about last week, like, fear doesn't exist in heaven. But, man, it sure exists where Satan's from. And notice who's afraid. The demon. Don't torture me. Don't, like, he's like, there's almost like this panic. Like, I know who you are. I know why you're here. I know why you came. I get it. Like, my time's up. Don't torture me. Fear is not a product of the kingdom. Fear is a product of where this demon's from. And you know what's so great is that the demon's actually experiencing that. And that kind of makes me, I'm a little vindictive about this. Like, kind of makes me a little happy right now. Because it doesn't exist in heaven, but man, this guy's getting an opportunity to kind of get that just desserts about what he's done. This demon doesn't want to be tortured, which I find ironic because that's what it does. Right? But notice those are trigger words. If you, when I had an opportunity to engage with people and engage with people who are feeling oppressed, this idea of torture, I'm being tortured by this. These are trigger words that I look for. Anyway, the demons begged, Jesus, send us into the pigs. Let us go into them. The thing I want you to take a look at, Jesus even shows this demon the grace of God. Right? By the way, Jesus didn't have to do anything. Like, your time's up. You need to go. He's already delivered impure spirits before, and there's never been this conversation. But the spirit actually says, hey, don't torture me, and I don't want to go there. Just send me into the pigs. That seems like a better. And Jesus even shows the demon grace. It's unfathomable, the God that we serve and the amount of grace that he bestows. As we continue in this passage, this is a key. This is a very, very important text that I want you to see. If you have it in your Bible, I want you to, if you can underline it, you can look at it, you can kind of go back to this. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits went out and went into the pigs. Jesus has ultimate authority over all things, and when the demons wanted to go into the pigs, they had to ask Jesus first, and Jesus had to give them the okay. So when you come again, if you've ever felt, I know some of the people say, oh, like, I've been sleeping and, like, there's a heaviness in the room, or I feel some type of demonic presence. Could you just keep in mind, like, who you serve? They are subjective to God. Like, demons are subjective to Jesus. They have to follow him. He's already proven his authority over creation, and now he's approving his authority over Satan as well. Now take a look at this. When they came to Jesus, they saw this man who had been possessed and in his right mind. By the way, this is the key verse here that I want you to take a look at. So the demon has an interaction with Jesus. Jesus comes. The demon is subjective to him. It's sent out. And now we have a man who's a has-been. A has-been. He had been subjected to Satan, but no more. See, here's this individual that the text records. Here's who he was, but now here's who he is. In fact, you're going to see that Jesus is going to use this man as a gospel agent. But so often, I think that we get hung up here. Hey, did you see what this guy did? Here's who he was. Oh my gosh, like, this guy was a demon. He had demons, and like, are we so caught up on where people were that we lose sight that this is an impossibility when it comes to the church? That every single one of us, guess what, found our place here at one time, that we were broken and that Jesus has restored us. And if those coming to our church find themselves in all sorts of vices and are removed from those vices, can we use and see that they are gospel agents, redeemed, renewed, and restored by the power and the love of God? By the way, God loves doing this. So here's this man who had been possessed with this demon. God loves taking what's broken and making something new. In fact, if you read your Bible, you'll know that there's this section in Acts. When Saul, Paul, came to Jerusalem, whichever he was calling himself at that moment, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. So if you know the story, the apostle Paul, who wrote just about half of the New Testament, 14 books of the New Testament, he comes to the disciples, those who had been with Jesus. So the 11 are there. Paul comes in, and now they know Paul's background. Right? They know, isn't this the guy that was going around arresting people? Isn't this the guy that was breathing murderous threats? Right? And they're all like panicky about who he is. And by the way, this man actually goes off and becomes one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever seen. But it started with him walking into a room and everyone's absolutely afraid of him. God loves doing this. Remember, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are going to be the one that I'm going to use to be my spokesperson. God takes broken things and uses them to his glory. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him. But look what he says. Go home. Go home. This place where you've been, this place of death and darkness, you don't belong here. Go home. Go to where you belong. But don't just go. I'm giving you a purpose. Say, look, go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And so the man went away. And it says that all the people in Decapolis, which means 10 cities, that's what that means. There was this place on the other side of the Sea of Galilee that stood for the 10 cities. And he sends them to that place, and he actually becomes a gospel agent. Like someone who was, like if this guy walked in here, like manifesting these demons, going crazy, cutting himself, right? Would we be people to see this as an opportunity to see God move in amazing ways? Because that's who Jesus saw, and that was the exact reason why Jesus went across the lake, was to have this conversation with this man, to say, here's who you were, here's who you are, and here's the mission and the purpose that I've given you. God doesn't believe in broken things. He believes in restored things. This man was worth every bit of Jesus' effort. In fact, Jesus didn't do a whole lot. All he did was speak to the guy. All he did was speak to the demon and it left. But the storm, the trip, probably the doubt of the disciples. What are you doing? Why are we here? Like, I'm sure they were like, dude, this guy's crazy. Like, the pigs all flying off and then the people all mad at him. Like, it was worth every bit because this man was going and being sent into a place that he needed to go. Jesus doesn't reside here in this too far gone. He doesn't deal with too far. He doesn't deal with it's too broken. And so I want you to have this understanding in your heart, because so often Satan can lie to each and every one here and say that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you've engaged, you have thought, you have been, you didn't read, whatever it is that you're just not good enough for the gospel. And that line of thinking gets you nowhere but here. So from possessed to purpose, from broken to belonging, from tortured to telling. That's where this individual is. And that leaves a great transition to where are you today? We have an opportunity to engage with this text, because so often what we can do is find ourselves saying that, I'm just not good enough. If you only knew what I endured, if you experienced what you would have a different story. No, I wouldn't. because Jesus' footsteps have proven to me how important restoration is in every single one of our lives. And so today's the day about doing some work. So if you're here today and want to be here today, I got great news for you. Jesus creates something new out of something broken. This is what the truth is. A new creation created in Christ Jesus. This is where we're at. And so it's about giving this. It's about giving this and throwing this, throwing this away and saying, I don't live there anymore. I don't reside there anymore. I don't even, that's not my identity. That's not who I am. I'm something new. And so where are you today? Think about that just for a moment, because I want to end our service today with this idea that if we walked in here feeling broken, we leave here feeling restored. If we feel here being defeated, we leave here feeling victorious, because that's who this Jesus is. Mark, this whole book of Mark is showing who Jesus is, and part of that is showing his authority over Satan, showing his authority over sin, and showing Jesus' ability to restore broken things. And today, let's do some work today. Let's leave. Let's leave here these broken sticks, these broken hearts, these broken identities, and walk out of here with a new identity in who Jesus made you to be. Let's pray. Lord, today's the day about doing what we've been called to do with this Mark chapter 5. Today's the day about stop giving Satan victory. Stop giving him room to work. Today's the day about inviting Jesus into the darkness. Today's the day about understanding that I am not too far gone, but I am being restored every day. And so, Lord, would you go for every person that's listening to my voice, whether online, in years to come from here on out, let us understand that this is a moment where we are going to decide to push back the darkness, to push back our identity that I'm broken, I'm damaged goods, but I'm, in reality, I am loved by a God who will stop at nothing to restore me, to redeem me, to make me whole, to make me feel loved and belonged, and to make me a vessel, what a beautiful word, a vessel to go and to share the good news. That's a story we tell. I was once broken, but here I am. I was once feeling absolutely worthless, and I got value. So leave the imprint of your love today as we do this work today. And receive our newness, our restoration, our identity. Not in broken, but belonging. Go with us, Lord, in that truth. Lead us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.